This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 9th, 2016, episode 56. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, changelog, development strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. Of course, infectionpodcast.com is the website. And if you're interested in gaming, geekiness, and more, check out my other podcast, The Crummy Show, at crummyshow.com. Back by popular demand, Brian with an I, Aldridge.
Yeah, if you want to find me, go ahead and go to, first of all, biteoftech.com. Of course, that's with an I, biteoftech. Or just go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. We have contact forms on there. We have our Steam group, which is a great place to find other people that are playing similar games. And we have our TeamSpeak. So if you're looking to hang out and just talk to people, maybe jump into one of our servers, go ahead and join us on TeamSpeak.
Yeah, I almost botched the intro. I'm being. Yeah.
You came right into it.
Well, like, bigger. The episode 56, I was like switching the camera shot. And I was like, oh, I got the date. And then I was like, oh, crap. I don't remember what episode it is. But it's okay. Yeah. That's why you come out. That'll be edited. So
you can edit that.
Yeah, I'm gonna edit that out. We've never. I don't think we've ever done an edit. Two parts together of a recording when there was an issue. I've never done an edit.
Never
to
actually
show.
Fixed anything.
No, there's been nothing like
so it's all raw.
Like I haven't like accidentally like put my. Like, I'm not, like, doing banking during the show where, like, I accidentally show my checking account or something. Like,
you're not pulling a Leo?
Oh, did you see the most recent?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that on here. I think I said something about him last week, didn't I?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think when I was getting upset, I said something. I don't know. I was talking. Oh, that was on Blab. Forget it. That was Blab talk.
Awful website. All right, Brian. Well, you know, we can beat around the horse all day, or beat around the bush all day, but what it really comes down to is breaking news, and it's here.
Yes,
and it's breaking news. I don't know where my sound effect is. I'm very upset. this is.
Are you stalling for a second there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the hell it is. It's not on here. Hold on. File manager. It's got to be on here.
We're so proud of that too.
It's on. I had to re.
Bum, 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 bum. Is that better?
Okay, I found it.
There you go.
Disregard. All right, I formatted the tablet. I didn't set up the soundboard right, all right? It's fine. Deal with it. So this may as well be called the H1Z1 podcast.
I have a feeling that's going to be a lot of the topic. I know people hate that sometimes.
Well, you know what? We haven't done it in months. This hit me like... I mean, you talk about like being totally blindsided, Brian.
Yeah.
This was, yeah, the Fine Bros might sue me. The talk about, like, just total out of nowhere, like, what in the hell is happening? Like, mind equals blown.
Totally going against
everything
that they've said up until this point.
I'm going to just say, Brian, we were right.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't heard... I don't know why you'd be watching this show if you haven't heard. I mean, geez. So there was this post. This was the 5th. So this was last Friday, and I sent this over to Brian. So on February 17th, 2016, H1Z1 is becoming two different games. So the H1Z1 name is still staying. So it's going to be H1Z1 Just Survive. And H1Z1 King of the Hill, and the abbreviation for that
King of the Kill.
I'm sorry, yeah, King of the Kill. Then the abbreviation for that is KOTK, which it doesn't really roll off the tongue, so I can't imagine that's going to be like a popular thing to say.
Say it wrong, it may be something inappropriate.
Yeah, well, possibly. so that's going to be KOTK. It sounds like a radio, sounds like a Midwestern radio station DJ. Like, hey, KOTK, top of the hour, got your traffic and news. And what they're trying to do with this is, it's pretty obvious. And we're getting some comments in chat, and I know I saw a lot of this on Reddit. What's up with these stupid names? But I'm not, whatever, it's the name. It doesn't matter. So H1Z1 Just Survive is going to get back to the survival element of H1Z1. Because if you're, I mean, if you followed the show or H1Z1 as at all, you know that there is practically zero, not zero survival element, but there's nothing in the survival mode that's enticing enough to play. So their quote from this is, with a renewed focus on truly delivering a persistent open world zombie survival experience where scavenging, crafting, and base building are the difference between, I'm not going to, that other part's stupid, but like that chunk, the persistent open world zombie survival, scavenging, crafting, base building, that is when this game was originally, announced like 2 years ago when they first started doing their streams and they were flying streamers out to San Diego. That's what this was. This was an open world survival zombie game. And then somewhere in this thing, we like totally got off like the wrong exit on the highway. Like we're in another state at this point. And then the battle royale, is now, you know, becoming King of the Kill, which,
and it's close to release. Like they're going to be releasing, and maybe this is some of the thinking too, is they can't release Battle Royale and claim that it's finished and come anywhere to close releasing survival because that's barely even started.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they wanted to separate them out so that they could say, all right, King of the Kill's done. Like, as far as it's out of alpha, whether it's in beta or its final release, we're releasing it as a paid for game. You can pay money and feel comfortable that that's done. And they'll just keep tweaking it. And of course, changes that happen in the survival mode, let's say they update graphics, they update animations, things fire like they love to do, that will, I'm sure, carry over, because that's kind of a weird question. You know, I'm sure that they're going to take assets and things that they fix in survival, and of course they're going to carry that over into BRs. I mean, I can't imagine they'd be like, oh, we made it for this, but you know, those are two separate games. They're going to still, just like they do now, go between the two.
I've got a bunch of different things here. So PlanetSide 2 is the big game for the what's it called? ForgeLight is the engine, right?
ForgeLight engine.
That's like the big engine. It's not the big engine. It is the engine that they use for these games. Now, and this is interesting. This is where I guess we'll get into our speculation. They've got a big Q&A on their website. Brian, I don't know if you can post that link in chat if people want to look up. There's a whole lot of stuff in there if you've got specific questions. Oh, not the AMA, the link to their blog post where they've got like a bunch of Q&As. Yeah. So I'm just going to read this really quickly because I think it's interesting. So it's the question is, when will H1Z1 Just Survive and H1Z1 King of the Hill come out of early access? So King of the Kill... I keep saying King of the Hill. That will come out of early access, and it will launch on PC, the PS4, and the Xbox One in the summer of 2016. Now, this is where my speculation comes in. ForgeLight is not currently on Xbox One. PlanetSide 2 is not an Xbox One game. It's a PS4 and a PC game. Now, the good thing with the Xbox One, and this was why it was supposed to be the better console, but Sony's just blown it out of the water, is because it's running an AMD Bulldozer processor. The code, the architecture is similar enough where you can take a PC game and pretty easily port it, because it's not really a port, but move that over to the Xbox One. Do we think that there's going to be any major change? Like, are we going to have ForgeLight 2 by the summer of 2016? Summer of this year?
No way. And what I would expect is, because right now, these BRs, or King of the Kill, are their cash cow with this.
Yeah.
Like, that's getting numbers and players into the game. I'd rather have it to where, now that they're splitting it off, they take the survival aspect and say, I wouldn't test us, you know, have us be the guinea pigs. It's so broken anyways right now. Have us be the guinea pigs for the new ForgeLight 2 engine. Put survival on ForgeLight 2, because we're so used to everything being broken. Like, they're worried about breaking BRs because that's what's bringing it and keeping everybody playing and keeping the numbers up and pushing sales. just give us the second game in Forgelite 2, even if it's not working well. I mean, how much different can it be? People aren't playing survival.
Yeah. And the other,
it's not going to be that much different.
And the other big news is, and I kind of overlooked this at the beginning, but these games, and the reason I said when we started is that we were right, these games are no longer going to be free to play.
No. And that was a big thing they announced. You said, will this be free to play? And they said, as of right now, we are not planning, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit.
No, that's literally what they said. We don't have any plans of making either H1Z1 Just Survive or King of the Hill free to play titles. So
yeah, and that's something we said a long time ago. Just why?
So no pay to win, no
with the hackers and all this stuff. It's just
now. Can't. I would not be opposed of King of the Kill being free to play because that's more like an arcadey battle. I have no issue with a free to play shoot 'em up battle royale style game.
They're going to try to figure out how to make more money off of that, and I think that they, for that, without going the subscription route, let's look a year down the road, 2 years down the road, when people aren't really buying it as rapidly, yet they're still supporting servers to maintain all this. How are they going to be looking? You know, are they going to then start like the ticket thing that they were wanting to do? If it went free to play, they'd want you to pay a subscription for tickets, which is over time is going to be a lot more than just buying the game. Is this going to be, now that your $20 is paying for it, is that your purchase for the game? And then you can buy these keys for or these crates now in mass.
Yeah.
That gets you items.
And a lot of the internet seems to think this is just a total money grab for them. I think everybody's totally off base with that. They've sold over 2 million copies of H1Z1, right?
Yeah, right around 2
at
million.
At $20 a piece, they're not struggling for cash. I think that's pretty certain. I honestly believe the whole reason for this is because they can't do BR and survival in one game. And the interesting thing is, now that they're changing the name, I wonder if that Battle Royale guy is screwed. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they're letting him go.
No, I'm sure they are, now that they're not using his name anymore.
Yep, sorry.
No, I'm sure they are. I would be almost certain, because they're not calling it Battle Royale anymore. I'm sure they want to just kind of diverge from that.
Now, how much of this is because of this new guy that came in?
No, see, this is, and I saw that same thing, and I thought that same thing for like two or three minutes, and I was like, this guy is brand freaking new.
Yeah, he's barely settling in. It's not like, in a week, he's like, we're totally redoing everything, and it's going to be ready to launch.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, next Wednesday, they're going to be releasing two separate executable files, two different games.
Said that they've been developing this separately for a period of time now. Like, in their offices, they've been developing these games separately. And this isn't, but they haven't been telling anyone. And they've done an excellent job of keeping this under wraps. Yeah, Player Unknown. They're clarifying in
Player
chat.
Unknown, yeah.
Player Unknown is the one who came up with a game style that was used in the Arma mod, and now, you know, they brought it into this. But it is still available in the Arma mod, known as the Battle Royale. So,
totally, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm reading some posts. So this is, I guess I've already kind of I've already spewed my opinions. I guess, what are your thoughts here, Brian? Good, bad, ugly?
Well, so here's one thing to clarify. Event tickets can only be used in King of the Kill. So the whole thing of event tickets being picked up randomly in the survival mode is where we got a bunch of our event tickets. And then we're like, okay, well, now we can use these. They're separating, with that being separated, there's no way in survival to earn tickets that will be usable. And they're still probably going to use event tickets for these special game modes. Because why would you have event tickets?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So with the event tickets, I'm assuming that they're still planning on having these special versions. So they're going to have one main version, and maybe they'll have a way for you to earn event tickets through wins. And you know, maybe they can come up with an incentive program that people can earn event tickets other than just buying them. Because if you're buying the game and then you're buying event tickets to be able to play a number of the modes, that's counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, and I think I forgot to clarify this too. So when these launch, like in the future, or on the 17th, it's going to be $20 per game. So $40 combined will get you the survival and the BR element. If you've already
paid in,
if you bought into it, but if you buy into it, they're running it as a promotion. You know, buy from anytime before the 16th of February, you're in.
And in all of all the tickets and all the different things that you have at that moment will be then split as far as a copy will be on each, and then they'll be independent from there on out. So,
what did you say?
So if you have items, whatever items you have right now,
skins do not count.
Well, they said your crates, keys, and items will be duplicated and available to you in both.
Now, I saw this, but I've got something that contrasts this, and I wasn't going to get into it yet, but we can now. So there's a Reddit post of a conversation between a guy named Tubax and Clegg on Twitter. And his tweet says, you will get your current account inventory on both games, which you said, after they are two separate complete games. So they're going to do that copy. And then this guy asks, are skins going to remain account bound instead of game bound so that any skins earned from one game can be used in the other? And he said, and then Clegg responds to that. So he says, so that's actually no, then after they split up to buy, you have to buy skin toys to use it in BR and survival. Now he said, and then Clegg responds with, they've become two separate products, no longer tied to each other. They cater to different player bases. So the initial split will happen, but any point after.
So yeah, you'll have duplicates of the time of the split. You will have the items in both, but let's say you purchase in the Steam store or whatever, you purchase a certain camo shirt or something, and that you have to pick which game that goes to.
If I had it my way, if I was the overlord, I would get skins completely out of the survival game. I would take
Okay, here's
screw skins. Nobody needs them.
I don't know about completely out. So here's my thinking, because I thought about this for a bit. I think that they should go for totally different skins as far as a different feel. I want it to be more of a survival rustic, you know, green,
no pink,
not bright pink, Hello Kitty, neon, whatever's in survival, because it totally takes you out of the moment, and it makes people just act weird. We don't need pig heads, things that you're not going to, I want to have the feeling of when I'm in survival, like those little things add to how people act even. Yeah. When people are running around, like I've got a pig head, I've got pink pants, they act weird. You know, they're going to go around killing, shooting people. You know, it's one little thing that just adds to it. But if you can bring that whole mentality of this is a survival game and get people kind of into the feeling of it, they're going to be more normal. They're not going to be the punks, as much of the punks that you usually see. But I think they really should make it more, add to the atmosphere. Like everything builds on the atmosphere in survival. You can have it to where in King of the Kill, it's all fun and games, people wearing pig heads and clown masks, whatever they come up with in the future.
I agree completely.
Have that be whatever. It's for fun. But I think in survival, and if they're going to do this, just say, all right, in survival, these skins that you have, even if you have a really popular skin, maybe recolor it. Maybe do something to change it to something else that's really cool and equally cool, because some people have paid, you got to remember, $100 for a stupid
but here's the thing, once these games actually launch, aren't they wiping player inventories?
I don't think so. Not skins.
Oh, not skins. Okay.
So that's the problem, is all these skins are now, all these junk skins are going to be in survival. And how are they going to get, you know, without giving them something that's really cool in replacement, and that will keep it as rare, but it has to be equally cool and as sought after, they're going to have to replace it with something else. I'm without doing that, there's no way that they're going to just go and take something that people have purchased in the Steam store and say, all right, we're taking it out of the game.
They can keep it in the King of the Kill mode. I have no problem with that. None of these, yeah. none of the.
You'll still get complaints. I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to do this without getting complaints.
Who cares? People are going to, it's the Reddit culture. Everybody's going to complain. But those I mean, half the skins make absolutely no sense in a survival game, and they ruin the element of survival. Now, I mean, I'm just taking this quote from their post when they say that they want to make this open world zombie survival experience.
Yeah, experience is the key word.
Again, I'm going to say it 1,000 freaking times. These are words that Daybreak puts out, and then they get pissed off when the community holds them to it. An open world zombie survival experience. We can throw that in quotes. I'm sorry. The pink Hello Kitty and the pink thing with the skulls and the light, the, whatever that neon lightning skin for the AR, that stuff is not, that does not fit open world zombie survival experience on any means. It just doesn't fit it. These skins are the issue.
Yeah.
These skins are the issue. Why this game is not survival? Because you're instantly taken out of the element of zombie survival game. Brian, you've really corrupted me. It's really bad. I was playing a game today, and I'll talk about it. It's just, it's all ruined. It's just, yeah, Gadlaw said my reindeer antlers. Yeah, like, exactly. That is not meant for a zombie survival game. I understand people paid big bucks for these skins, and everybody always brings up CSGO and TF2. King of the Kill is like those games. We're not saying get rid of all the skins. Make all the skins work perfectly fine in that game, because that is your CSGO, that is your TF2. King of the Kill is right with those. It's got its skins, hats on hats. Look at me, Team Fortress 2, I've got 1,000 hats. That fits there. Zombie survival. Could you imagine if Arma 2 had skins? Skins? Oh, here's my sheep shirt skin, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm going through Soviet Russia, for Christ's sakes. I've got a skin. It's got Hello Kitty on it. Oh, look at how cool that is. Look at my Hello Kitty Band-Aid. Look at my Band-Aid.
I think that's where they got really just split on what they could do, because when they went with the BR thing, and then they started out survival, they went with this BR thing. Okay, well, for all that BR stuff, that makes sense. You know, I mean, it's like, well, we want to create all these things so that people buy skins. You know, you got to keep pushing people to buy skins. But when you have these games together, and all of a sudden you got all these, everything going to both. I wish they would have split it a long time ago before they released all these skins. So all of these, as you said, would be released in BRs. And you can keep, I think that they're going to have to come to a point where they say, all right, we're taking out or replacing all these skins that are just way outside of the genre.
Yeah. I mean, they could even narrow it down. Like Mustard's brought the ghillie suit. That's a perfectly fine skin. There is isn't there camo skins or something like that?
There's camo skins. There's ghillie suits. Yeah. All of that makes sense. I mean, they don't even really need to put the ghillie suit in BRs, because that's not the atmosphere of the play. No, like, you could, but it doesn't really.
Yeah, but it's the same
right
map.
Now,
I've got no issue with the
until they fix you being able to see the people.
I would not limit
the ghillie suits.
I would not limit any skins in the King of the Kill mode, because it's an arcadey shooter. I mean, it's arcadey. It's not as hard. It's not CS:GO. It's not competitive. So it's a little more arcadey. That's perfectly fine, but at some point, that shit's got to go. I mean, you cannot have just let's go to I know Hanny's website has a list of all the H1Z1,
all those different skins.
Yeah, the H1Z1 Survivor's Rest site.
And,
I know
and
has
then one
that.
Other thing. While you pull that up, I'm gonna bring up the map. This split is a great opportunity for them now to release the version 2 map without totally messing up BRs, because I think that's another one of their concerns as well, is they have this new map coming out right now. BRs are working fairly well, as they said they're figuring they're pretty close to complete. I think that they want to be able to put the new map in there and have it not affect BRs currently, because right now BRs are the numbers. And I think if they then totally replace the map and risk having everything broken for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks while they figure everything out, I think that that's going to cause issues too. So I think that's part of their thinking, is maybe getting ready for this version 2 map that they're coming out with. That'll give them an opportunity to put it in the regular one, make sure everything works in the regular where people aren't really playing as much anyways. And then when they see that a lot of the bugs are out of it and it works, then roll it over to the BRs.
Yeah. So here it is. And this is on Hanny's Survivor Rest site. But like, there's just some things like the Jinx, the t-shirt manufacturer, that doesn't need to be in survival. Same thing with all the toxic skins. The Rasta stuff doesn't need to be in there. There's things that doesn't, you know, here's a camo backpack. All right. That's great. None of the streamer shirts should be in the survival game. I'm sorry. There's just stuff on here that just doesn't need to be in this game. The flower print pants, like, seriously? That stuff does not need to be in survival.
The muscle leggings.
Yeah, the muscle leggings. I mean, there's just a lot of things in here. The aqua paisley shorts, the flaming skull, all these streamer tees. There's just no need. There's no need for those to be in survival.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand you paid for them, but you still have it in the other game mode. And here's the thing, Brian. This is going to be, I wonder what this is going to do for survival, because what we have currently in survival, is that what's going to be on the Just Survive, or is it going to be a modified version? Like, I'm not even sure if it's going to, like, are they going to take, like, is it a mirror of what we have right now, just a split?
I think right now they're splitting it exactly as it is right now, and then they're going to start developing them separately.
Okay.
They're going to use things that they create in both, but they have teams that are creating content separately for each, even though they probably will take things from each one and put them in both.
So now,
but they're supposedly having a dedicated survival group of people that are dedicated to survival, because almost everything has been dedicated to BRs up until now.
Yeah. Now,
and it's shown. I mean, very little has come out that isn't either totally split down the middle as far as being for both or purely survive or purely BRs.
Now, do you think that this is going to get you back? Is this enough for you to jump back in H1Z1 on the 17th?
Not on the 17th. I want to see the new map, first of all.
That's not going to come anytime soon.
Until they come out with either a new map or they totally rework the base building system. For me.
Okay.
If they totally rework the base building system and they make it modular, which is totally possible, or they come out with a new map that would bring me back into playing, because I still never even got the Christmas hats.
Yeah.
Never even logged in to get them.
Same here. So I guess you will not be playing H1Z1 on the 17th?
No, not on the 17th.
Because I think this is a good opportunity for groups to like get back together. Get back into the game, because it's.
But what
are
they going to do in survival, though?
Nothing is no, but not. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You could plan it and say, "All right, when they release the first, you could even say the first major content update on the new, game.
Yeah,
since it's its own game now, then everybody log in and let's check it out together.
Yeah,
that would make sense to me. But right now, it's still the same game on the 17th that it was a month ago. It's just a different name, and it's now its own executable.
True. So I got a few pings throughout the week from people that are trying to get groups back together. I think this would be a good opportunity for our group to just get, even if it's just for a day or two, just to get back into the game and F around for a little while.
Because it is a fun game. It's just when you play it for so long and you're like, okay, nothing's changed. Day after day, it's hard to play it every day.
Yeah, and I don't think at this point we will be, but I think on the 17th...
But we haven't played it in so long that there are things that have changed since we played regularly.
Yeah, I think on the 17th, our group should jump back on. We'll find a server. We were invited to some private servers, but we're not active enough to that. I'm not comfortable doing that at this point.
Well, and the funny thing is, we even had Daybreak ask us, "Are you still?" Can I say that?
Yeah, it's not. I don't care. It's not a secret.
We had Daybreak ask us, "Are you guys still interested in a private server?" Well, it's like, what? A little bit late now. I mean, you know, 6 months later, when we were asking him. But, you know, it shows that I think with this split of the survival, they are now going to be taking it more seriously to where, all right, here's what we need to do to make it so that people want to play survival, and they're going to be figuring out everything they can.
Yeah.
I did get a message, and I was gone all day today, and someone wanting to talk to us about that private server, which if we could get the people to play, I mean, it would be fun. Yeah, I just want to see some content.
Yeah, because we're both in a group. I don't know if he's in here right now. It's it's a group of some clans, old and new, that are kind of hopping back in. So we'll see.
I mean, if you can get people to play, I mean, I'd love to jump in and play every once in a while. I just, for survival, I want to have a different feeling when I go in there. And right now I just don't feel like I'm going to have that feeling.
Yeah.
And I want to see some changes in it, to where when I go in there, I feel like there's something new to discover.
Yeah, guys, the issue with taking the private servers, we don't have a group.
So, yeah, I mean, with everything, how it happened, like, people are playing other games. Like, we're not going to be able to jump in and be like, all right, like we used to. Hey, we got 25 people right now. Let's play.
See, this is my goal of getting everybody back on the 17th. Here's the thing. They're not doing this right now. They said that they're looking at reopening the program.
Yeah.
So what we could do is we need to get our group back established, and then we need to do this. Plus, here's the thing.
It would make just as much sense to join up with those other guys that are doing it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That's pretty much what we were doing before anyways.
Exactly. And then we don't have to deal with it.
Then we're not in charge of it.
We're not in charge. I mean, Brian works a day job. I'm a full-time student.
Well, and I was going to talk about this. I'm actually starting school. I haven't really announced this because I haven't told all my clients yet, and I pretty much have told all my clients now. I'm actually starting school full time in 6 days.
So this is going to be the college boys show. We're going to get some PBRs and
I've been going to all my clients and saying I'm not doing business anymore, which has been crazy.
There you go. Congratulations.
So this is going to be two
college boys.
Just two college guys.
Just two college guys sitting back doing a podcast, man. Smoking some weed. It's going to be sick, bro.
Yeah. No more responsibilities other than school.
Exactly. I'll talk to it's like IMP Sparks or something like that who messaged me. And there's a few groups listed on here. The whole thing is, because I'm sure we're going to be bringing back, and I think this is my whole point. On the 17th, any of these invites that we have are kind of rolling invites. Like, it's not like if we don't accept them now, we're totally cut out of the loop. I think because we're going to be having players that haven't played in a while come back to deal with the whitelist server process for people just isn't feasible.
Yeah.
It would just be nice to play on a public server. I don't think we're going to be playing seriously enough, but get on a public server, and old people that used to play with our group and maybe have moved on to other games and they want to come back, they can just join a regular public server. Brian and I don't have to deal with whitelisting people when we're not on. I just think off the bat, getting a private server or getting on somebody else's whitelisted server is not the best solution. So I'm not planning on it day one, and our H1Z1 group is kind of diminished. So to get on a private server and have to deal with whitelisting people is just not, I don't think it's going to work. At least at this point. So I'm planning on this.
Something we can talk about. I mean, we got weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
To talk about it. So
exactly. So I will be kickstarting everything on the 17th. I'll get on, we'll find a server to play on, and hopefully, if you're still listening to this, Clan Wars servers. That's the thing. That other group is doing the Clan Wars thing, and to split it is kind of stupid. Plus, I don't really feel like managing it. And I'm sure Brian doesn't either. Especially with this and other stuff that's going on, so we'll make it happen.
So
plus this update's not going to be any different. So who freaking cares? It's not going to. There's going to be 20,000 more wipes between now and release anyway. So it doesn't matter, but we'll talk about that.
So here's, they did actually put out some new, I don't know, this isn't really new content, but they put out some more art stuff this month.
Yeah.
Now this is a total, you don't watch The Walking Dead.
No, but this is not just a Walking Dead item.
There is a character in The Walking Dead that her sword is the katana.
Yes, the katana. It's like a Japanese. It's Japanese, right?
It's a Japanese sword. Yeah, it's a Japanese samurai sword.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things pulled from The Walking Dead. You know, to kind of, if you want to do a little bit of role playing and feel like you're her, you know, this is that item.
That's what Brian's going to do, by the way.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to try to dress like her and everything. So this is the katana. They have a number of different tints. You remember they talked about tints?
Tintable colors.
Yeah, so this is the tintable colors, pretty much where they take something that looks like light metal, they make it look like bronze, look like steel. Yeah. They have a couple different tints to it, so that's their tint. And then they have the different colored hilts, right? And that's the hilt, correct?
That's the hilt, the thing that you hold? Is that the hilt?
Yes, the hilt.
I was not familiar. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that term.
So the hilt of it has a number of different colors, and maybe this is more survival related, because if you look, they're not incredibly bright. They're not hot pink. There
it's
is
thread.
A purple one.
It's like, it looks like shoelace, just kind of strung. It's not, but it's like shoelace strung up on it.
Yeah. With a design on it. And this to me is not super outlandish. Like if you went out and you looked for a samurai sword in a store, this is what you would find. I'd have to struggle to find those muscle pants print.
No,
like,
if you went to
joke store.
No,
right?
No. I guarantee you could get
those at Walmart,
or Target or something like. Yeah, you could.
Okay.
I guess you could,
but this is something
like a CVS.
That you would find. Yeah, so this is something you would find.
You could buy one,
and they do say
expensively.
Don't expect to find one laying around Romero's, but they're not sitting in game yet. This is a work in progress. So this is just their first. And if you look at the closeness, once again, these are very high definition renders. You can see the little, on the lace, you can just see the textures to the shoelace, as you call it.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at these on Amazon. They're pretty inexpensive. I should get myself a katana.
Yeah. So you can get a katana, and and they have the ones that seem to have a little bit of a curve to them. And if you look at the bottom one, katana sculpt, like that's totally straight.
Yes.
So that's going to be a different version of it. And it looks like those are shorter.
Yeah, they're shorter, and they've got like a, you see like that wavy, like it almost looks like a ridge design on it. It's got, something like that.
So this will be interesting. And how is this going to work though with the guns?
Bring a knife to a gunfight, bro.
How are you going to use this?
You're going to use it the
right
same way you use a baseball bat. Same way you use a baseball
zombies,
bat.
These are pretty much a zombie defense weapon.
No, I disagree. I disagree completely. You could totally run up behind somebody. It would be really cool if they had full on Mortal Kombat like RKO like animations with this.
What about on here? Let's say once they get the buildings to where you can actually run inside and there's more to it. This is when you go inside, like you pull out your katana. For close range, coming around a corner, like quickly killing someone if you happen to run into them.
Now, I don't see this is just another melee item. This is. I would hope it would do more damage than a base. I mean, this should be a one or two hit kill. I mean, it's a freaking katana. It's like a full.
You should be able
on.
To chop a zombie's head off. With
yeah,
one
this
hit.
Should you should this should be total decapitation. This should not be like a. I swing at you four times with this katana before you die.
Now, what if they made a mode like for King of the Kill? What if they made a mode where randomly it was melee weapons only?
Yeah, 1v1 katanas only.
Even if it was baseball bats, katanas. Yeah, like you could find a few different melee weapons in there. That would be fun. You don't know when you sign up. It's random that you may have a handguns only, katanas only. I think that would be more fun personally.
And PHVCK saying they should put weapons like this in every week, not once a year. But it's funny. We're seeing more of these new. I like this is a total arc thing that they're doing. They are announcing things and releasing screenshots, and this is a katana. This is how a katana works. You'll find it there. And then they put it into the game. They're changing previous.
Sebastian really has been bringing that. I think him just starting to do it on his own, on Twitter, I think kind of brought them around to, hey, Sebastian gets a lot of love. Like people say, hey, we like Sebastian.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's start doing it how he does it.
Exactly. But we're seeing what did we have last week? There was something else in here. It was the bundled key
the
things.
Crates.
Like yeah. they're they announcing things. Exactly. And previously the announcements were just test server updates. So there'd be a test server update and it would say
whoops, you found this in the code.
Yeah,
or I guess we should tell you that it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Katana in game. They're doing blog posts now with pictures. This is really great.
And Gadlaw's bringing up, remember when they hyped the crossbow? Like they mentioned before they released it, hey, we're going to be releasing a crossbow.
Exactly. Yeah, that was huge. Everybody was really excited for the crossbow. I'm excited. There is a great opportunity over the next, I want to say probably the next 6 months, where we're going to see lots of evolving. And I can say, Brian, I don't know if you share this opinion. This is the most enthusiastic I've been for H1Z1 in a very long time. This is
at least since October, I think.
Oh, I'd say before October.
I just remember it's got to be at least since October.
Yeah, I think since the, I'd say this is the most excited I've been since the Invitational. Because that was about the last.
Around October, right?
No, the Invitational was in July? June, July, or August?
I don't remember. So now let's go on. Speaking of Sebastian, he did that art wrap up.
Yeah, those are fun. I like those.
So he goes through it and. I don't know if you want to.
I heard the song, and I don't think it was. Oh, we don't make any money on these videos anyway, so who cares? So this is.
I mean, you could run it. You could mute it.
We'll play the music. Whatever. Who cares? What are we gonna make 11 cents off the video? So this is. This has been Brian. I got to say, this is probably the only consistent thing we've seen.
Having these wrap-ups.
Because
it's been at least 3 months that they've done this.
Yeah, so this is the January art wrap-up video, so we'll it's about 3 minutes long. We'll play that, and then we will analyze it after this.
I can't hide. Hey,
All right.
Did you see at the end there?
Yeah.
The zombie pulled a piece of meat from her side and ate it.
Yes. Great. I'd give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. So I'm going to have you guess. What do you think was my favorite thing about that video? The one thing that stood out to me.
The bullet shooting the couch.
Yes.
Yes, I did it.
The bullet shooting the couch for me was the one thing, Brian, that I was like, that.
I saw that and I was like, ugh, I hate Brian. What has he done to me? It's just, what a waste. I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, wow, look at the bullets on this couch.
That. Like, that's actually
so
how it would actually
stupid.
Work. The bullet shooting the couch and the little feathers coming out for me.
Ugh, what a
was
waste.
The thing that I hate the most.
It. It's so, I hate it.
Now, one of my, okay, what's your guess on my least favorite thing?
Cop car's on fire for like the 1,000th effing time.
No.
No?
The barrel? Tree growing through the road. That does what, not look.
Where is there a tree growing through the road?
Go right after the shooting of the
couch.
Oh,
yeah, of course. That, I mean, they weren't showing that off.
They're
showing off the fire effect. I mean, this is just a test map. They're throwing shit everywhere.
I know, but that for me, the trees growing through the road without having kind of like grown, you know, how it would.
No, that's not how it's going to look, though. No, I see.
I know, but that for me, that they should make an effect of how the asphalt would crack and kind of raise whenever it does that.
Like, now,
if the tree is going through asphalt, make this effect around the outer edge.
So I want to show this. This is the lighting with this. What are these things called? It's like the cloth, like doused in, like, I don't know, oil, and it's on fire. Yeah. They show the effect for this, and I don't know if they're trying to show the room lighting effect or if they're actually trying to show the effect of the.
It's. I think they're doing the fire with it because it's the new torch that actually changes based on how hot, how long it's been running. And then also the lighting, how it's a more gradual light.
Yeah, but it's not the difference is not really it's torch, I guess. Is that the name of it? The official name. The lighting really isn't that great with it. What they're trying to show off, I mean, I see what they're trying to do. It's just not like I looked at that. I watched it like four times, and I was like, maybe a little. But again, it could be the render and then the compression. Of them doing and then the recompression from YouTube.
I did like how they did the, if you look at the torch, how you can kind of see as it gets hotter and hotter, like
yeah,
there's lines through it.
Looks like a campfire.
That's a very, for the engine that they're working in, you know, I mean, that I'm sure that was hard to do.
Did you like the Fraps icon throughout like the entire video?
Yeah, they just need to pay for a license of Fraps.
Fraps stock. Fraps is like $45 or something. It's not even that expensive.
They just need to buy it.
I don't even. I mean, I even own. I own a legitimate copy of Fraps. I could send it to them.
But I mean, their big thing is that fire. I'm guessing that they're really hoping that that's going to be a big element.
Oh,
of the
you know,
feel.
I didn't notice it. Zactoman said it, and this just shows how stupid I am. Let me play this again. So what they're actually showing, I was so concentrated on the light. They're showing more of the movement stuff too. How it moved. It moved
how
before.
How the fire, the flames move with the movement.
Yeah, now it moved
right.
Before
they're
too.
Showing.
They're showing that, but they're also showing some of the lighting stuff.
I didn't watch as you go left and right, like
yeah.
The lighting and then
says,
also the flame.
Yeah, but it's the before does that too, kind of. The before kind of does it too. But that if I can pause it here. That's like a really crappy fire effect. Like it's like it's like a constant fire animation that's always the same and it's way too much.
Yeah. So now go to the after.
And then there's your after. It's a much more condensed ball of fire, which is realistic because in the other one, like your entire hand would be on fire. Like it's.
Well, remember you set a torch and it's just like.
Yeah, I mean,
going
look at
the
it.
Floor,
look at the look at the upper floor. The distance of the fire. The fire doesn't shoot off like that. I've actually made one of these before. It's not like anything like. Like the fire doesn't shoot out of your hand like it's showing in this.
Yeah. Now people were asking about those floating balls that were in the very beginning.
The reflection. They're just showing different reflections.
Yeah, so those are used in a development environment. So, and they're different colors, and one is like a glass
chrome
to a reflective chrome type of thing. That is so they can see how lighting reflects off of those colors.
A sphere.
Yeah, they're spheres that have blue, green, you know, they're different colors so that you can see how everything is reflective in the lighting.
There you go. So that's that. Altogether, a lot of the, I wish it throughout like the entire second half of the, or not second half, probably the last minute of the video, it's that like checkered floor, not the checkered floor, but like the grid floor with all the zombies. Yeah. I wish I would have zoomed that in a little bit more because some of the animations were pretty hard. Like I wasn't looking for like a full on close up, but it was a little hard to see, especially why is some of this stuff 4x3?
I don't know.
I really don't understand.
Maybe it's
that.
A fraps when you're not when you have the free fraps.
No, this one doesn't have the fraps watermark.
Okay.
So, other than that, good video. I was impressed.
And they're working. I mean, if you look on the beginning when they're kind of going through the town, you can see more the feel of how they're going to make, which is much better than what they have right now.
Correct.
There's stuff like you can't see everything. There's things just setting around. They definitely are improving, and this kind of makes you excited for the version 2 because it should be a lot better.
Yeah, one would hope, especially after all this. So
that's – and then they – right now, I'm just putting a link for it, but they have like a question answer, and this was just released a little bit ago. But you can ask Chris Wynn questions.
It's over now, yeah.
Oh, is it done?
Yeah, so it was 2 to 3 Pacific, so they did it from –
oh, okay, so it's done.
Yeah, they did it from 5 to 6 Eastern.
But there are some questions on there if people want to go through.
Yeah, I looked. There was nothing that like really jumped out at me. I saw Hannah asked a few questions, but nothing that was like nothing that wasn't already out there. Of course, like your typical like 500 questions about the map. But nothing too crazy in there. So that's H1Z1. That's the longest we've talked about H1Z1 in a very long time.
Yeah.
Probably since our name change. So that's what we got right now with that.
All right. So do we want to give away a game?
Yeah, do you want to?
Yeah, we can. I mean, now would be as good time as any.
Okay. So what is this, Brian?
All right. So let's do for the first one, the keyword is going to be broken. I'm going to give away Broken Age.
Okay.
Let me get a link so that people can see what the game looks like. But this is one that was released. I actually bought it in Kickstarter. So before it was ever released. But it is a side. It's not such. It's a adventure type of game. So this is going to be one of our smaller ones today. I paid. What's sad is what you pay for it now on Steam is less than what I put in the Kickstarter. Which is how it seems to work. But it's got very positive. It's voice acted by the kid from Harry Potter. No, I think Elijah Wood. Sorry, Elijah Wood from Lord of the Rings. So it has some major voice acting in there. Jack Black, Elijah Wood. But yeah, it's broken. So just put broken in chat.
B-R-O-K-E-N.
K-E-N. Yes. And I don't know if your girlfriend is here to
I don't want make it. Sure.
You don't want it. Okay.
No, we can reroll.
But it's got a very positive rating. It's got 83% out of about 5,000 reviews. So, yeah, broken.
Yeah.
And this is Broken Age. I've played through about half of it. It's in two pieces. Like when you play the game, you play through one and it like there's a halfway mark and then you play through another part of it. So, I've played through the first part because they, with the Kickstarter, they released the first part first, and I just haven't played through the second part yet.
There you go.
So far we have, let me see how many people, the little icon's covering it up, but we got a decent number of people who have entered so far.
Okay.
Yeah, Broken Age, one of the worst examples of a crowdfunded project. Now, the thing is when here's the funny part about this is what they didn't really tell you what they were going to release. They said it was a company that had released some major adventure games in the past, back in the day. And so we were like, okay, you know, what are they going to this was a double fine. Like, okay, I'm hoping that they're going to make something like Day of the Tentacle or something crazy like that, which you probably never played. And so they didn't release anything like that. This is nothing like, I mean, it's, you move around like that, but it's not the same as like Day of the Tentacle. So but until they actually released it, I had no clue what I was even paying for. So that was Broken Age. All right. So let's go ahead and roll.
Okay.
And the winner is Joe. So not a unicorn Joe.
Hey, there you go.
And I will send him a link to this.
Cool.
And make sure you check in your other or junk or spam or whatever they do on
Twitch. Yeah, and, I think Twitch. It's the other folder or something like that. Or
yeah, they don't seem to make it go into the regular inbox. So
exactly.
All right, so that is going to your inbox, Broken Joe. She says he won has won twice in a week, or 2 weeks in a row.
We got to stop that.
Hey, last week people weren't doing it. So.
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
What I should do is have it be like a generic term. Like when we do these, the only thing is maybe people won't want the second one, but it would keep everybody in the role, and then the same person would win. But I guess we should do it towards.
Yeah.
If you want this game,
they're free.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So that was Broken Age, and we'll do another one here a little bit later.
Yeah. Boo Joe. Yeah. Screw you, Joe. Shouldn't have won. All right.
So do you want to, go ahead and go to ARK.
Yeah. Because ARK, it's not,
as
remember,
usual is doing.
It's not the H1Z1 podcast. It's the survival podcast.
So we got 235, which was released on February 7th.
Oh yeah.
Now, is that the last one? 230?
No, there's four. There's 235.4, so there's five updates.
Did we skip any on this?
No.
Are you sure? 234?
Yeah. 234.1 was the last one we covered last week.
Okay,
Brian.
Cool.
Brian, well, here's the thing. We got to say this. So Brian does, this is our thing. Brian does all the pre-note stuff normally, and then I do all the post-work normally. And well, almost actually always. And then we do the show together. So it's normal split of bounce. Brian said earlier today that he was going to be out. So I did the show notes and he doesn't trust me. I can count. I can count. Damn it.
That it's just the fact that the release date is the 7th and today's the 9th. That means they went
from
over half a
January
week 30,
January 31st was 231.4 when they did the multi-threaded replication thing. And for whatever reason, that must have called for a new update. And now here. So, yes, you are.
So that's the thing. That's what's throwing me is off is that 2 days ago they did.
You don't trust
between
me.
The last 2 days, they've done like six updates.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. So they added the new Terror Bird.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we look at this already last week?
I think they announced it. I think they said that there were. Well, we talked about what was going to come.
We did a detail of this, didn't I? I think we did. Maybe not. I don't know.
We played a video of what they were expecting to do. So they're doing Terror Bird. They're having that new grappling hook, which we covered last week.
Yep.
They added that. They added tribe alliances, which I still haven't. I mean, we got to figure out how that works. And I don't think it's in the non-official ones currently, how we're doing them. But we'll have to look. I haven't even tried to add a tribe alliance. They added all items to the master ID array, which they had talked about doing. They fully localized. It said fully localizable game text. So pretty much you can translate ARK into whatever version you want. And they're encouraging you to do translations and dynamic fonts for different languages without having to mod the game. So if you speak some crazy language, you can make the game be in that language. They added so that the fish are now in different sizes, just like we had mentioned. And now stuck players can now jump out of being stuck, which is excellent.
Yes, this is great because
we're not getting stuck in holes anymore.
So many times did we or our idiot friends Hey, found the whole game, guys.
We were those idiots, though, for the first week that we played.
First week? It was the first, like, 3 weeks. It was awful.
We kept on having to ask this tribe that had whatever types of, you know, they
the
had
tribe,
bigger
one of the tribes that ended up destroying us.
Yeah, like, we're stuck in a hole again. Or our dinosaurs are stuck in a hole. Can you please come carry us out? That was pretty much what we did. So that was 235. That was released February 7th. And then that same day, they put out another patch that says fixed infinite jumping players issue. And I logged in and asked people, has anyone seen this or know what this is? No one had any weird things with jumping. So I don't know how common this was. But it was an update they put out that required a server restart. So it was on the server side. And then the next day, so this was the 8th, they added community German translation. So somebody went through and translated everything to German.
Cool.
And so they put a Steam option in there where you can launch the game, so everything is in German. And then the same day, they unversioned hotfix. So this was something they put out quickly. They added community Spanish translation, and then they thanked the person who went through and updated. I hope they don't do this for however many, like 20, 30-something languages each day. Like, oh, we're putting out another patch. Just get them all together for a couple days and then put out, hey, we're adding these languages.
Yeah.
Now the Battle Eye cheat system.
Battle Eye.
This is what H1Z1
I know.
Uses,
this
right?
is the real deal.
Yeah. So they are adding Battle Eye anti-cheat system, and currently it's Windows only because they said that there's some weird issues with the Linux and Mac version.
It's fine. Nobody's playing on Linux or Mac, so.
So currently they implemented it into now what's funny is they said Node on Battle Eye is currently not ready on Mac or Linux, which. That's the developer, not the
where
the
do
name
you see that?
Look down the like the.
Are you on 235.3? I see Linux, Linux.
But go down farther, and
oh,
they.
I see it twice. Yeah, they put Linux once. Linux.
So they temporarily disabled it on the Mac and Linux version,
I'm
but they are looking
that.
At releasing it in the next few days. I mean, I'm fine. I mean, most people don't notice.
I changed
that.
It, so it's okay, because it's wiki.
Well, I'm okay. Nice. And then on 235.4, so that is today, it says BattleEye protected servers are now indicated with an icon in the server list. So if they have the ability to do it, it will say. And they made text labels overrun rather than clip. So that's better for displaying longer string text on translated servers. So maybe something that is made to fit in a certain area in one language. You know, let's say you put that into... I don't know what's the craziest language you can think of that has a lot more characters. It's not going to fit in that same space. So they're making so it overruns rather than clips. So I'm assuming that it goes to a second line, right?
Yeah.
Is that they overrun. And they updated master localization archive to have more strings, so multi-line text. So you can put it something if it's not, if it may be in another language, you need multiple lines. So that is 235.4, and that's current. So that's where they're at right now.
There we go. Arc. A lot of updates, yeah. Not a lot of content.
Yeah, I mean, them implementing BattleEye, though, I haven't heard that everything has gone crazy, so it's much smoother than H1Z1's implementation of BattleEye.
Yeah.
And they're looking at, so this coming week, they're looking at adding Giant Beaver, Handcuffs, three bosses, and first three bosses and boss arenas, Snow and Swamp Caves. They're going to be doing a server performance phase 2. So they're looking at making the servers more efficient, which they have been doing. It's been better. And then breeding mechanics phase 2. So they're going to rework how the breeding mechanics work. So this will be fun. So that's going to be coming February 15th in that week. So in the next 2 weeks, you should probably see some of those things.
There you go. So that's Arc.
Yeah. And so, so I think that's pretty much everything. Do we want another, we could do another game giveaway or are we, we're not to that point. Okay.
No, no. So we've got some, I'm going to talk about, I talked about this game a few weeks ago. Let me do this first. Cause this makes more sense. We talked about this last week. And it was rumored Xbox Italy leaked a picture of something with the Division with an open beta, and it has now been confirmed. Tom Clancy's The Division, We'll have an open beta, which means you won't have to you don't have to pre-order the game. It's an open beta for everybody, for the Xbox One, PS4, and PC. And it will start on February 18th that's next Thursday. And it will run until the 21st. So it'll run from a Thursday until a Sunday night.
Nice.
I hope a Sunday night, not a Saturday, like, you know, Sunday morning, not whatever. So that'll be running. So you have a few more days there, and, that's an open beta. So that'll be more of like, I think that'll be more of like a stress test on,
yeah, I think they were kind of just showing it off, the first one, and doing some, I mean, there was a decent number of players, but just making sure everything was working. This one's going to be, well, how many people can we fit in and have it still work?
Exactly.
So, all right. So, yeah, so that's The Division, and we both have that game ready to get it. And now there's another game that you put on here that you started playing today.
Today, yes. So Firewatch. I showed this game off
a number of months
I'd say maybe a month ago. And I'm not going to show it again just because I've already showed it, but it's an action adventure game, and you are I'm not going to give anything away with it. It's a very like dark open. Like you think like, yeah. Oh, it's this like cute kind of like cartoony, like Team Fortress 2 art style game. And you're going to walk through the forest. It starts off and it gets really deep, really quick. You're falling down a mountain while with the storyline. You're not actually falling down a mountain, but it's just like a total decline on the story. I'm like an hour into it because it came out today, and it's like something. It was $17, and I think it's $20 now that it's released. So you can get that. Some people were saying that Cole Carnage played it, and people weren't happy with the ending. It was a $20 title, and I knew the story. I think the story was only like 4 or 5 hours, but whatever. I'm excited. I played an hour of it, and I had fun for the hour that I played. So,
and it's more about the story with this game, because if you look at some of the developers or people that were working on it, they were people that worked on some of those Telltale games where it's totally about the story.
Yeah.
Like the Walking Dead Telltale game. That was one of the people that worked on it. So that kind of tells you the feeling. And the Walking Dead Telltale game was one of those games that when I was playing it, like I actually felt like Zacto or Gravity was saying, you know, I actually felt emotion when I was playing it. And very few games do that.
Yeah.
To where they can get you really just kind of going with the story and tug at your heartstrings, and you're making decisions as you go through, and you kind of like, oh man, you actually feel like there's weight to what your decisions are.
Yeah. And with this, and it's like right off the bat, and like Gravity Beard, he says I was close to cry. There was like a point where I was like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing? Like, this is a video game. It kind of drops out in like a pile of bricks right at the beginning. So I'm going to continue playing it. Really cool art style. I'm actually trying to get a t-shirt or a poster or something with the logo, because the logo, I don't know. I find this really cool, this logo. It's like the total like mono, it's like a monotone RP.
It's nice warm colors.
It's really cool. I'd like a t-shirt. I'd like a poster of this, a nice big poster to put on the wall. So hopefully something like that's available, because the game for the hour I played, it's a lot of fun. It's not open world though. It's an action adventure, so you're hurdled like cattle to follow a story, but fine.
If that's the kind of game that you're getting, though,
yeah, exactly, it's fine.
They can tell a story better with that. When you do open world and they can't quite direct the story, it gets very tough.
Yeah, I'm 47 minutes into it, so I played through the first day of the game, and then I had to get ready. Oh, and American Truck Simulator too. Did I talk about that last week? Maybe I did. I don't know. I have American Truck Simulator too, so.
So, Miscreated put out another patch, and so this is their patch 32, and they actually put it on the 4th. So, this is last Thursday. They're putting out pretty regular content, but I wanted to just kind of go over some of the things that they're working on, and they just brought it up during this patch. So one thing is the artificial intelligence. They're working on item storage. That's been a big issue where people can't save items and put them in a chest in a base. So that is something that they are working on. A large city that they're developing for this, they're putting in a large city, and they say it looks amazing, but they don't have any teaser shots that I saw. But that'll be a lot of fun. They're in the game. They've been working on some performance things, how it looks when you swim underwater. I mean, in here you can swim underwater, which is nice. They added some new pistols. So they added a 45 and a 22. They fixed how, because there's boats in this game, you can actually get in a boat and go in the water.
Boat.
Yeah. So they've been working on the boats. They do a lot of tweaks. I mean, this is a full 3 pages. I like little things like they fixed a bathtub that was in an odd position in a house. This is the kind of patch notes that I like.
Exactly.
You know, it's like if you fix it, tell us about it. You know, they put little things like that. So they go through and they put a whole list of things that through the world they fix, you know, floating objects, things like that. They added sound effects for you when you swim. So it feels more real, fixed a lot of animations. So yeah, they're putting in, and once again, I always talk about Miscreated. Like, this is a game that they are, and one major thing they did with this release is before they were working on what they called a profile build of CryEngine. It wasn't a regular main release, so it really changed how they had to do things. So this one is a regular release on CryEngine. So it's making it so that they can actually put things in the game in a normal way, and actually have it to where people can't hack it. It makes it a little more anti-cheat friendly.
Yeah. So. Now, I totally forgot about this, Brian. The Lunar Sale is actually going on right now, and it ends the 12th, which is Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And just a few games in here that some of the games that we talk about, I'll just go through the prices on them. Like I just mentioned, Firewatch, it's brand new, and it's 10% off, so it's $18. Rust is on there, it's 50% off, so you can get that for $10. H1Z1, 25% off, you can get that for $15, which is a good deal once that splits, because then you're going to be paying $20 for each part. Miscreated is on here for $10. I know Ark was on sale earlier in the week. I don't know if it still is. Yeah, it is. That's 33% off, so you can get Ark for $20. So if
I wouldn't do that right now. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah. But you can. But if you're, and I want to thank Judd for, it was Judd, right, who sent me a copy of Miscreated, just before the show. So now.
Well, they get you in there and you can try it out and see what I'm always talking
now
about.
Now I have no excuse. So thank you, Judd. I appreciate it. And you can get that $10 for that. Bunch of other games on here for sale.
So now, since you brought it up, in the Humble Bundle, if you subscribe to the Humble Bundle monthly,
I got the email and I was like, oh boy.
So right now, let's say you subscribe to this month's, you would get Alien Isolation, Titan Souls, Broken Age, which I gave away one copy of, was from this Humble Bundle, Volume, Panarium, Dropsy. And then also, if you subscribe right now, you get Ark. So for the $12, you would get all those games plus Ark right now.
Ark.
So rather than paying $20 for Ark, you could get Alien Isolation plus Ark plus those other games.
How much is this thing?
$12 a month.
You know, I gotta sign up for this.
I'm telling you. I've been playing Alien Isolation. It's a lot of fun. It's a nice kind of spooky game.
Such spook.
Yep. And then, I mean, with Ark, if you haven't gotten Ark yet, and you'd be like, I'm just waiting for it to go on sale.
Are you
going to
give
is the equivalent.
Are you going to give your
I'll
copy
I'll be giving my copy away, yeah.
If I sign up, I can give mine away, too. We could do like a double whammy Ark giveaway.
Yeah, so this will be an opportunity for us to get copies of Ark.
Is this the PC version or the Xbox? I wonder if I can get this on that one.
PC version.
Damn.
Yeah, this is PC only.
That would be cool if I could redeem that on the Xbox.
So that's why I was bringing it up, because you could go to the sale, pay $20 for Ark right now, or you could pay $12.
You know, I really want this Humble Bundle monthly thing. It's like, it's weird. Like, I'll spend money on stupid stuff, but like, I'll look at this and I'll be like, ah, I just can't.
But they usually have such good games.
I bought like a $25 t-shirt this week that says gluten on it.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you could have a shirt that says gluten, or you could have,
but like, that's my problem.
All those games. And if you don't want them, you can give them away.
I mean, I don't own any of these games, so I'll just redeem them all and get to them eventually.
Yeah. But if I don't have them, I redeem. If I do have them, then I put them in my giveaway pile.
Fine, I'll sign up for the Humble Bundle monthly.
But I mean, you can't. I mean, with what you're getting in there, you can't.
No, you can't. It's just like, you look at it and you're like, do I really need more games I won't play? And like, I look at that and I'm like,
see, but no. I've been playing. There's games in there that I do play. Like, yeah. I've been playing. One that I did was, of course, Alien Isolation. I've been playing through that this week, and then Styx is one that I've been playing. It's a lot of fun too. So.
And like the same thing with Loot Crate, like PHVCK just said. Loot Crates are really, if you look at Loot Crate as like a deal, you get like graphic tees.
Cool stuff.
Graphic tees are normally $15 to $25 depending where you, I'm wearing my Zombie Slayer Association shirt today. They're typically between $15 and $20 plus some other stuff it comes with. You can get, and the Loot Crates are what, like $20 a month or something, or $25 a month?
Yeah, and they look pretty cool. I mean, I've never subscribed, but I've seen people open theirs.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, for me, it's just like one of those things where it's like, it's a great deal, and so is the Humble Bundles, but it's like, do I need it?
Yeah.
And that answer always ends up being no. What do you tell yourself, Brian?
Well, I'd like, do I have it, and would I possibly play it? And like, when I look at the ones for the monthly, like I usually play at least one game out of there.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. There's a number of the regular ones that I skip, because I'm like, some of these last ones, I'm like, I'm not going to play any of those games.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, the next thing you know, it's like one $12 Humble Bundle here, and then $14 at Loot
and
Crate.
And then 900 later. Yeah.
I'm spending $15 on razors with Dollar Shave Club, not a sponsor. And it's just, the next thing you know, it's just like, there is like $27 in my checking account. It's like, well, thanks, Brian.
Glad I got all that.
Yeah, glad I got all these indie games. So we'll see. So, do you have to do it every month, or can you just sign up and then cancel?
I don't know. I don't.
Oh no,
I
think PHVCK is saying about Loot Crate. Yeah, because like, that's the thing. Like every month, like, you could look at the games. Like, honestly, with this $12 Ark, like, I probably wouldn't sign up for this because the big game is going to be Ark, and I already own a copy of Ark.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know that one, and whether or not you would play Alien Isolation, you know, is your choice. So that would be
Alien
Isolation, really,
looks like
signing up for this one.
Yeah. So maybe you can buy and then cancel. Maybe I could do that. Or maybe I should just buy the regular Humble Bundles when those come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's really your choice. For me, I like the I've been doing more of the monthly rather than the individuals.
Well,
so
yeah, you're making all that computer repair guy money. So there you go.
Yeah.
But now you're gonna be a student, you're gonna be eating ramen noodles and
I know.
Yeah, so you have to cancel your subscription because you're going to school. That'll be the last thing that you get to take your car before they take your Humble Bundle subscription.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to drive. I'm doing my school from home. So for 7 Days to Die, they put out another patch, and this was on the 5th. So this was their 13.8 for their alpha. They created RG city spawning method. So that was a change. They fixed throwing rocks. They fixed workstations not catching up. They fixed point of interest never spawning zombies in RWG, which I think is one of their maps. Well, RWG. I have to look what that is. They fixed gaps in skill returns. They fixed changed skill effects curves to match internal chart balancing. They fixed NRE on scrapping a now empty inventory slot. They fixed craft preview time was not matching up to actual craft time in the recipe queue. They fixed cannot craft a recipe when it's not showing in the recipe list, and they fix out of memory on water particles, and they fix stack resetting on the closing forge and reopening. So it's a lot of little things that you probably would never notice, but there may be little things that you just accepted that that's how the game did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now,
that was 7 days size. So not one of their huge, you know, most huge patches, but it's a lot of little fixes.
We made the big plea about the Rust guide about how, like, they're shutting down. I just went to their Reddit. They posted that thing on the front page 11 months ago, and the website is still online.
Ah, nice.
So
maybe not.
I don't know what the hell's going on. He still needs $18 for the domain, if anybody is interested in sending that over. Okay. I was like, all right, I guess, whatever.
Unless they can come up with a better way to do it. But yeah, so there are some fixes on there. It's not the huge list, but I think it's because it's the beginning of the, well, two of 2016. It seems like he's, yeah, so, I mean, he only shows one update in this month.
We need to find a new website.
Yeah, so.
Do some research. Now, a game that did, of course, we wouldn't be able to cover the Rust update anyway because it would be 10,000 lines long. But a game that did update, and a game that I'm really, maybe you're just pointing it out more now, or
he's been doing more lately.
That's okay. So Unturned, which is like a 17 or 18 or 19 year old developer, just a guy, is developing this like Lego game. It's called Unturned. It's free to play. We've talked about it. And they're doing a bunch of cool updates. We don't really play it, so I'm not going to go through all of it, but there's boats and fix the helicopter and plane exit distances. So they're doing a bunch of cool stuff there with Unturned.
Yeah,
and
so
it's
they
free.
Put in a police, police helicopter.
Yeah, totally free. So you got to go check it out.
Added a thief outfit.
Some cool stuff.
You know, he's going through and he's doing things.
Yeah, if you're playing this game, you can throw the kid like $5 with like a premium key, which I would recommend.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So he's definitely keeping on it. I mean, because other than that, I mean, he's got to be making some money. But I wonder how much he's done so many copies. It makes you wonder how much he's made from people.
Well, the game's
doing those.
Yeah, I mean, the game's free, so he's not making anything off the individual copies. But he might be off of the, or he is off the keys. But I don't know what Steam takes in terms of percentages.
I'm not sure.
This is totally off topic, but we're doing good on time. If we're going to look back on Steam and say, what an amazing company. Let's remind you, there are no advertisements, zero advertisements. It is 100% free. You can have, it's got voice chat built in. It's got a friend system. It's got a group system. You can share your screen remotely with a broadcast. It's got all of these features. It's 100% free, and the games are always on sale. We're going to look back in the future if Steam is gone, and we're going to say, "Oh my God, look at what this company did compared to all of these other companies that were just advertisements and just shoving the propaganda and ads down your throat." That has never happened with Steam.
Now, No One Rage is bringing up people hated Steam when it first came out, and this is a battle that I've had. And I've kind of just accepted it. All your stuff is under one, and if you ever get your Steam account banned or something happens to it, like, you're losing all those games.
Yeah.
So, and like on here right now, that $5 permanent gold upgrade is now 25% off, so it's $3.74, which is pretty much like a donation. It's like, here, well, let's make the donation less.
Exactly. That's crazy.
So. But yeah, that is Unturned, and you know, definitely something if you're just looking for, even for your kids, if you want your kids to be able to play a game that's not crazy.
Well, yeah, I think there's voice chat in that, so.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's a free-to-play PC game, Brian. What could go wrong?
There's going to be a bunch of other 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds in there. Mom, I'm playing a game. Stop.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's how you hear them yelling, or their mom yelling at them, get off that computer.
That happens on Xbox because there's no like push to talk.
Yeah.
All right. So, Brian, you've got some stuff you want to talk about here.
Yeah. So this is something that I know some people that do some game development or they've been interested in game development. This was announced by Amazon, and it's Amazon Lumberyard. And I don't know, today is the first day that I've seen this. This is a free AAA game engine deeply integrated with Amazon Web Services and Twitch. So you can get the full source for it. So this is a true free. You have the whole source. It's not like Unreal 4 where you have to give them a percentage. This is an actual AAA game engine. And if you look, like, it looks pretty nice. You know, they've got... It's really nice. I mean, it looks like it's using at least DirectX 11 on here. And so DirectX, I mean, maybe it's even DirectX 12. But you go through it, and it's able to scale for multiplayer games. Maybe we don't know it yet, but they're going to be putting this, they're going to be putting King of the Kill on this.
Exactly.
And he says there's no asset store, but they do. They do have a thing where they're giving away some assets on this. So there may be a place where they start giving away free. So it's available in beta right now. You can download it, play it. And so I'm assuming they'll be adding things. Adding to where you can get more graphics and things like that.
Yeah, I would presume.
So, yeah. So this is, as I said, free with full source. So if you're a company looking to get into game development, this is definitely something to check out. Also, they have GameLift, which is using their Amazon Web Services as well, but you can deploy and scale session-based multiplayer games in the cloud in minutes with no upfront costs.
Pretty sweet.
So if you're going to be doing a multiplayer game and you're looking to be able to get, you know, have it do multiplayer, but you don't know how many people are going to play it, this will make it so that it will scale in real time to be able to handle however many people come to play the game. So, yeah. This is a new thing. If you're into it, take a look. It's on their website. They have a bunch of tools. It says build live multiplayer features in minutes. So I don't know how easy it is.
Yeah,
we'll see how it works.
The criticism I've seen with the Amazon thing is it's not open source. So,
but you have the source.
But it's not open source for you to make modifications to.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I would assume it's not open source. I know that for sure.
Then why would they give you the source?
Not sure, but I can tell you, they use the term open source and full source. So you must register your product.
Full source code. So you can customize Lumberyard for your team and your vision of your project today.
But it's not open source.
There's no seat fees, subscription fees, or requirements to share revenue. You only pay for the AWS services you use.
Now, so you must register your project with Amazon, and you cannot use any alternative web services besides AWS.
So that's their restriction, is that you have to use AWS for the hosting of it.
Yeah.
Of the game.
No, but I mean that's a
term. But you can change it to handle whatever you'd like.
Yeah, I think that's important because
but it's not under the open source license.
And no,
under the open source license, you could say, "All right, I'm going to point this to my own server."
Exactly. And I think that's interesting for developers because there's a line between and I guess that's why people are kind of pissed off because they're toeing with the word open source and full source and open source. They're playing with those words.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a scummy thing to do, but, and it's got,
so
it full says,
can I take, so here you go. Can I take Lumberyard and make my own game engine and distribute it? No.
No.
While you may maintain an internal version of Lumberyard that you have modified, you may not distribute that modified version in source code form. So they're not wanting you to adjust this, maybe brand it as your own, and then re-release it. You can modify it and then use that to, you know, develop your game and release your game.
Correct. I mean, it's still a free, like service, or not a free service, but it's still a free engine, but it's not open source for you to do whatever you please with, which is important when you're looking at developing a game.
Well, this is really tailoring towards multiplayer. It's not a single player on your computer type of game. I mean, that's not what they're trying to get.
But it can be.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't get anything off of it.
But,
you
true.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think they're really tailoring to the, this is going to be where people go and create multiplayer games, which is a lot of the expense. I mean, that's the very difficult part is, okay, sure, you create a game and you make it multiplayer, but then getting it to where you have all the servers and have the ability to handle it, let's say it becomes popular. Like, I mean, you can take a look at Unturned. I mean, that kid must have had some help. You know, when it first started out, especially being free to play, how does he handle the servers?
True. Yeah.
When however many million people have his game.
That's a real concern. So,
I mean, this would be one way that if it does really take off, you can at least handle the servers and have it continue to grow. So,
yeah. So that was, that wasn't a criticism of the service, but it's just to keep, if that's a big deal for you. Cause I know there's a lot of people that are big into open source.
Yeah, it's not truly open source, but it is a free. But you got to look at the same issues with Unreal 4. With that, it's not open source. You can make a game in it, but you are required to then pay them part of the fees that you make. Mm-hmm. So there's downsides of both.
Totally. Let's create our own H1Z1 there. You could totally do that with this. Yeah, you could totally create your own H1Z1 with this.
And it'd be made to do that multiplayer. I mean, that's what it's tailored to.
Yeah. And AWS is, I would imagine they're using the same price scheme as a regular AWS.
Yeah.
So AWS is very reasonably priced. So I can't imagine any crazy, crazy pricing schemes with AWS.
Yeah. Now, I bought a game this week.
Okay.
And I used my other Amazon gift card. But I've watched the videos on this, and I just have been so tempted because of how the game looks. But I got Dying Light.
Oh, okay.
I got it on Amazon for $29.99. And I'm really hoping, because I keep seeing like Dying Light, the following enhanced edition. If you type Dying Light in the Steam store, like that's the only version other than the season passes and things like that that come up. So I keep seeing Dying Light the following for $19.99 DLC. Like I was thinking of getting Dying Light and then getting the season pass, which I think gives you
all the DLC, normally.
All the other DLCs.
Yeah. That's typically what happens.
Yeah. So that's one thing I'm trying to figure out is, I don't, you know, they just mailed it. So it'll be here on Thursday.
Oh, what? You got a disc?
Yeah, because it was $29.99 versus $59.99 for the downloadable.
So you're
going
to have to use a disc every time you want.
No, it gives you a Steam code. So the disc just gives you a Steam code.
So they mail me the Steam code. What a waste.
But it's $30 cheaper.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
That's where, you know, I don't know. I assume that it's going to be the version that I can use the season pass on and have the full everything.
Yeah.
Because it says this game requires Dying Light the following enhanced edition, and that's the only edition on Steam. So even though mine doesn't say enhanced edition and all that, that's gotta be what it is. We'll see. Hopefully.
There you go.
Either way, I'll have Dying Light and I'll let you know how it goes. But if you look at the video of it, just it looks incredible. I hear a lot of really positive reviews.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, everybody that I've heard talk about Dying Light seems to be pretty
happy. That has played it, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's Dying Light. And I'll give you a report as I start to play it.
Time for another game giveaway?
Yes. So, let's go ahead. Yes, Game Dump 2016.
Got to play it the first time. But we're back.
And, yes. And so, I'm going to go with, I've got so many games. How about Bioshock 2?
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, I assume everybody's heard of Bioshock 2.
Never heard of Bioshock.
Yeah. It's a game. I played through them all. They're a lot of fun. So if you haven't played Bioshock 2, you need to be in this. So let's just do Shock, all lowercase. Shock for the code. Just like that. And this is Bioshock 2. If you already have it, please, you know, unless you're going to give it to your best friend or something, don't.
If you have it, don't enter. I think that's like a general like consensus rule. Like, hey, if you've already got this free thing, don't enter again.
And BioShock, like, it's so cheap in this. I mean, it's only costs, you know, $3.99 right now because it's on the sale. It's usually $20. But hey, when I got it, it was worth more than that. But it's a really good game. Definitely worth, even if you don't win it, it's definitely worth buying. It's a lot of fun.
Totally.
And their other one, the BioShock Infinite, that game is really fun as well.
That's not the newest one, is it?
Yeah, that's the newest one. I don't think there's a newer one than BioShock Infinite.
Okay, gotcha.
They have a season pass, but
I don't like season passes. And Division is doing this thing with the season pass now, and it's got me contemplating canceling my pre-order. To be honest with you.
Well, let's see, with the season pass of BioShock, you get three DLCs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, if they give you enough, that's where I'm looking at, like with Dying Light, like the DLCs are pretty major. They're actually really enhancing the game with it.
See, but here's the thing: if you paid $60 for Dying Light, and then
had to pay $30 for the,
that's where the Division. If I find another game that I would rather have in the next, like, 2 weeks, I'm canceling my Division pre-order because I'm sure as hell not spending $60 on this game and then another $30 to buy a DLC pack off the start. These season passes and stuff are fine for, like, $20 or $30 games. I get it.
Yeah.
But to charge me $60 and then charge me another $30 is bull, and I won't have any of it. I won't have any of it.
Yeah, and that's where they've really got to be putting out major content. Like, if you're going to put in the season pass, you got to be delivering something that's worth however much that season pass. I mean, when they go through and in the season pass, all they end up giving you is some skins and lousy content. Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, that I got ripped off.
Yeah, and it's just, like, the Division stuff is like, oh, it allows you to explore the Big Apple, and the second expansion involves a mini campaign.
Well, I mean, they gotta do more than that.
I'm going to cancel my pre-order. I don't even want the game anymore. That really is a total turnoff. As good as the game was, that just really, really pisses me off.
But the thing is, the season pass is, I mean, that's just what they're announcing now. You don't know that they're not going to go and then deliver major.
Doesn't matter. I'm not. I mean, they already got my money. They should be giving me everything. The game should sustain itself at $60.
Yeah.
Because then you get into this stuff where then now you can't play with your friends if they have the season pass and you don't.
Yeah.
So I think I'm canceling my pre-order, even though I really liked the game. I think I'm going to cancel it. But
yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I know it's kind of hard to say. I've had some season passes that worked and some that happened.
Yeah.
So, all right. So if you haven't typed, I mean, Shock, it's 10-second delay.
Plenty of time. I mean, that's why I kind of brought that up. So I think we're good to go.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead and roll it. So Daily Zombies has won BioShock 2. So I will, I have BioShock 1. Maybe later we can.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give away both BioShocks the same week, right?
Yeah, we could do that another time. So that's right. Going to be in your inbox once again. Same rules.
So while you're doing that, spam. I'll cover current players here. So actually, it didn't update. That's a problem. Okay, here are the most recent updated numbers. So for H1Z1, currently playing 16,451. The 24-hour peak is 23,515, and the 7-day peak is 27. This number is actually surprisingly high, 27,478. So that is for H1Z1. Now switching over to Ark, currently playing 35,359. The 24-hour peak is 51,977, and the 7-day peak is 62,443. And I said I was going to do this one last week, so we're doing it now. Unturned, these numbers are actually astonishing. Currently playing 14,703 players. The 24-hour peak is 28,548. And the 7-day peak, Brian, 40,701.
Wow.
This is like when this game came out, this was like a 16-year-old kid that just was like, hey, I want to make a game. And yep. he didn't have a lot of technical knowledge. At one point, I was watching his Twitch stream, and somebody was like, oh, what kind of computer do you have? And he was like, oh, I don't know. It says like HP on it. Like, he didn't even know. So this is really cool. Good for him. So there you go. That's current players.
Very good. Yeah, and that's one thing where a game like that, like, he could go so many places. I mean, just he can go to any company and say, I have a game that has 12 million people have downloaded
installs,
it.
Yeah, instances.
12 million installs. However many it is. I mean, that's ridiculous. And, yeah. and it's a game that having that's a major AAA company doesn't get that.
Yeah, exactly. So. And so. And I mean, some of those numbers are attributed to the free-to-play, but nevertheless.
I mean, look at all the other free-to-play games that don't have those numbers.
Yeah, there you go.
So, very good. So, all right, so do you want to do my tip of the week?
Yeah, you should roll the intro.
Well, I'll go ahead and say, so tip of the week is where we go through and we give some sort of a survival tip. It can be either for a specific game or it can be for survival in general. So, this is your tip of the week. All right, so this survival tip, since we do a lot of ARK, this is pertaining to ARK. And I wanted to go through a quick and easy way to be able to, especially when you maybe don't have a meat-eating dinosaur, to be able to keep a nice supply of meat for maybe for taming a dinosaur or keeping yourself fed. So, and they have changes recently in one of these patches to where there is bigger size fish. They have small fish, medium fish, and then possibility to large fish. So I'm encouraging you to go out. You can use something like a hatchet or a spear, but go up to the water's edge and you can get the coal fish and get at least 5 meat per fish. So if you're looking at a way to quickly get meat, let's say you're taming a raptor or something on the shore, you can go and get fish and get at least 5 meat per kill. One thing is you got to really be careful of the piranhas. The piranhas will find you in the water and they will make a beeline for you. Tip is to back up from the water, let them come to the edge, and then you can whack them with a axe or something or a pick. But definitely, if you're looking to gather meat quickly, even if you have a large meat-eating dinosaur, we take a Rex out and we'll go through a little bit of water that's near us that has a decent supply of fish. And you can just make a circle around the water, killing all the coal, and you'll have 75 meat in no time. So use those fish to your advantage. There's not much other use for them other than killing them and getting meat off of them. So that is the tip of the week.
Awesome. And for some reason, my profile got like rolled back in the switching software and it played the old intro.
Tips?
Yeah, but it was weird because like before the show, I was like, God, where's the image that I normally put on the screen like during the intro? And I was like, why is it not in here? So something, I got the right profile open. I don't know what happened.
We'll figure that out.
I got the new intro now, I'll just flash on screen.
Well, I gave the tip of backing away from the water. There was 2 tips in there. So
yeah, there you go. Just
killing piranhas and...
Just for everybody, there it is. Tip of the week. Better. There you go. So I'm sorry. Yeah, because I was... Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what happened. Because it didn't save my... It got rolled back a few weeks, because I played that intro like, what, 2 or 3 weeks now in a row?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
So, I don't know what's going on there. All right. Anything else?
No. I'm going to check Twitter really quick just to make sure there's nothing...
No breaking
major
news?
I really hope
there's some breaking news.
It seems like it's happened in the last a couple weeks ago to where all of a sudden, for some reason, the show right at the end, within the last like 10 minutes after our show ends, some major thing is announced.
Yeah.
So, nope, I don't see anything major announced today. They have the video game. the New York Video Game Awards.
I see that at Twitch, right?
That's having, I mean, you missed that, yeah.
Yeah, it's in New York City, though.
Yeah, how much of a drive is that for you?
Well, you don't drive, you take a train, because you can't park. 2.5 hours, 2 hours.
Yeah, depending that's not on too bad.
What kind of Amtrak, or depending on what track you're on.
See, for me to go to North, or like to Northern Idaho, is 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I don't live in, like, I don't live in Canada, so, like, I'm less than halfway between, like, I'm closer to New York City than I am the Canadian border in New York State. Yeah. So it takes probably 3.5 hours to get to the Canadian border. So I'm like right in the middle, but in the eastern side.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very cool. So yeah, I think that's it.
It's funny because I just watched a video today and it was like, I'm from upstate New York and I don't live in Canada. And it was like this like mockery of what people think. I was like, oh, if you don't live in New York City, you live in Canada. But yeah, thanks for confirming that.
If they hear the word New York, they assume you have to be
in the
New
city.
York City.
Yeah, and if you say, oh, no, I don't live in the city, they're like, oh, you live in Canada. It's like, oh, well, yeah, guess so. Or Westchester, which is not upstate New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And I always say New York, and when I'm meaning New Jersey, and you're like, no, that's New York. Or you say, if I say New Jersey, you're like, that's not New York.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, New Jersey is...
That's a very New York thing to say.
I mean, it's not the
it's
same
across
state.
The water, but it's across the water.
Yeah, but that, like, right. I mean, what state? I mean, that's like just that's like saying like Pennsylvania. Like I'll be like, oh no, that's not Pennsylvania. That's Ohio. Like yeah, the states border each other.
Yeah,
I mean, you can make the same argument about Vermont and New Hampshire.
There's just not very many places that you can be from state to state in one little bridge like that.
I mean, every state has a border.
Yeah, but most places.
I think
we have one where it's right on the border of Oregon and Idaho, and like, but they're two separate towns. It's kind of the same thing, but you know, you go across from this magical little line right here, and all of a sudden you don't pay taxes.
Oh, nice!
And you go this side, you pay taxes. I mean, there's
well, you look at cities like Kansas City is in like three different states.
Yeah.
Same thing with Memphis. Memphis is in two different states.
I think this is like after show talk.
Sorry.
We haven't officially ended the show. If you usually
where can people
to the
find you on Twitter?
Version,
we just got to get out.
This is the kind of stuff we talk about.
Gotta hit the dump button.
Yep. If you want to find me on Twitter, at Boise Computer, or you're more than welcome to go to my blog, which is biteoftech.com with an I. And of course, go to our website. Definitely check out Infection Podcast. Join our Steam group. Join our TeamSpeak. And yeah, send us a message if you have anything interesting.
Thank you very much, Brian. Like, of course, he said, infectionpodcast.com, our Steam group. Like always, I will this week talk to some other people in the group, and we'll figure out a plan for next week's show. So next week's show is going to fall on the 16th, and the day after H1Z1 is going to do its big, you know, kabang. So we'll decide and release that publicly on Tuesday what we're going to do, and we'll figure that out at some point this weekend. So... That's that. Other than that, website, Steam group, TeamSpeak, all that fun stuff. Guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Infection. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. We'll see you next time for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.